The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Daf Tzadigim, today's daf is being studied. La'anyo Nishmat, Marat Zekenati, Yafa Batzara. We begin today's daf on Tzadi Gimel Amud Rishon, and we start 5 lines from the top. Amar Rav Hanan Hamoser Din Al Havero Hu Ne'inash Tehila. Which literally means if a person transfers his judgment to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means a person has a claim against somebody, and instead of taking it to Beit Din, he comes along and says, let God be the judge. So anybody that instead would have an option to go to Beit Din, and they don't go to Beit Din, and they tell that God should be the judge in this case, so the Gemara says, Hu ne'inash tehila. The person gets punished for that. Putting his judgment to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It seems that when one brings God into the picture to judge, so then they say, your books are opened up first. And who are you to bring somebody else to judgment? You have to see your books. And once they start scrutinizing the books, so nobody comes out innocent. Shne'emar, V'tomer Sarai el Avram. Sarai emenu tells Avram Abinu, Hamasi alecha. I'm angry at you. Because she felt that he was having children from Hagar, and she wasn't having children. So he says, I have claims. You prayed for yourself, you didn't pray for me. And therefore, she says, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Let God judge. And what ended up happening? She got punished. Uchtiv v'yavo Avram l'spot l'sara v'lipkota. She died first. And what I was saying over here, that really, she should have lived more years. But she died... She died at 127, and Avraham Avinu died at 175. She died over 30 years before Avraham Avinu, because she wrote her judgment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Was there a Beit Din in that time that she could have went to? Tosfot says, Ubime Sarah haya Beit Din Shel Shem Kayam. She could have went to the Beit Din Shel Shem. Instead, she said, let God judge. V'hani mili di'it ledina bar'a. The Gemara says, that's all I'm talking about, whether there's a judgment on earth. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Oy lo litzorek, yotem min hanitzak. Both really are in trouble. The one that's tzorek, the one that's crying out, has the claims, and the one that's being claimed. Like we just learned, the one that's claiming, they open his books. And the one that's being claimed, mustama, he has some guilt also, if there's a claim against him, because he's causing somebody else trouble. So the Gemara says, Oy lo litzorek, yotem min hanitzak. Both are in trouble. The one that's complaining and the one that's getting complained about. But the punishment comes to the one that's claiming more than the one that is being claimed. Comes the Gemara and says, V'amar Rabbi Yitzhak le'olam al tihi kela lahidyot kela be'aynecha. A person should not take a curse of a hidyot, of a simple person, do not take it lightly. Share Avimelech kidel tzara. Avimelech in that episode cursed tzara emenu v'netkayim bezaran. It came true. Well, what did he say? Shne'emar hinehu lecha kesut enayim. That if she has a child, he will have kesut enayim. His eyes will be covered. And he'll be blind. Amar lahu ir v'chesita memeni. Since you covered information from me, and you did not reveal to me that that was your husband, Degaramt elai hatzar hazeh, and you caused me this trouble, like we learned on yesterday's daf, that all of the body of the Abimelech and his family closed up. Yiratzon shiyu lecha benai kesuye einayim. You should have descendants that are going to be blind. Ve'etkayem bezara, and it came true. Shnei amadichtiv ve'hiki zaken Yitzchak v'techena einav mirot. Yitzchak became old and his eyes became dim from seeing, which he wasn't able to see. So the Gemara is trying to say, don't take the curse of a simple man lightly in your eyes. Here, Abimelech cursed Sarah Imenu, and it came true. Amar Rabbi Abhu, Le'olam ye'adam min ha'nirdafim, ve'lo min ha'rodfim. A person should always put himself in the position to be the one that is being pursued, and not the one that is doing the pursuing. Because it says in the Pasuk, Elohim yivakesh et ha'nirdaf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sides with the one that's being pursued. He takes the underdog. Don't be the one that's pursuing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take your position. So it says, She'en lecha nirdaf be'ofot tutim mitorim u'bnei yonah. There's no bird that is more pursued than the turtle dove and the dove. V'chshiran ha'katuv legabe ha'mizbayach. And those two birds are the only birds that are kosher to put on the mizbayach. So you see, when a person's in the daf, learn from the birds. The birds are pursued, but that's why they are indeed kasher. The Mefarshim ask over here, what is this language, le'olam? Always a person should be a from the nidafim. So he says, first of all, this is a nyan of midat hasidut, but he writes, ye'adam an nidafim, afilu b'mi she'eno nidaf ve'lo rodef. Even if you're neither, you're not pursuing and you're not being pursued. Shi'amod letzad anirdafim. You should always stand on the side of the one that's being pursued. Even if it's not your situation, when it comes to taking sides, you should take sides from the one that's being pursued in order to protect them. Good. Comes the Gemara continues. Ha'omer same et oini. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah that if a person comes along and says, take my eye out, cut my hand off, break my leg, in all these cases, he's going to be hayav. And even if he says, al menat leftor, do it and you'll be patur, still hayav. However, when he comes along and says, rip my shirt, rip my clothes and all that, and he says, al menat leftor, it'll be patur. So, if he says, al menat leftor, it'll be patur. So the question is, what's the difference between when he says, cut my arm, al menat leftor, and he says, rip my shirt, al menat leftor. Why, one case is hayav, one case is patur. Amar le'rav aseh, barhamma le'rava. So Rav aseh, barhamma, tells Rava, mai shena resha, mai shena sefa. That's the question. What's the difference between the resha? That you tell me, kata'it yadi al menat niftor, yahayav. The sefa, you say, rip my shirt, or break my jug, al menat niftor, and we patur. Amar le resha lefi she'en adam mochel al rashe evarim. Because he doesn't mean it. Person does not mochel al rashe evarim. When he comes along and says, you'll be patur, he's just saying it out of anger. But he really doesn't mean that he's mocheling the payment. Nobody is mochel on such a great thing. On his limbs. Amar le v'chi adam mochel al tzaro. Right, we have another bright that is going to say that a person will be mochel on his sa'ar. Meaning, let's say you're not cutting off his arm or cutting off his, taking out his eye. Just causing pain. Does a person mochel on pain? Because we have a bright that says, the Tanya, hakeni, pitza'eni, hit me, give me a wound, al menat liftor, patur. So the Gemara says, according to your logic, it doesn't make any sense. You tell me, no, a guy's not mohel on Rashi Evarim. Well, Vichy is a guy's mohel on the Tsar. When he comes along and says, you hit me, on the condition that you're going to be patur, does he really mean to put it? But the Braita says he's patur. So Gemara says, Ishtik. He kept quiet. He didn't have the answer. Ravah did not have the answer. Amar, Midi, Shami, Alak, Beha. So Rava says, did you hear anything on this subject? Different reason. That the reason why a person is not mohel al rashi evarim is because of the blemish that it does to his family. It's not only what it does to him. When there's a blemish, he has a wound and things like that, it brings an embarrassment to the entire family. So therefore, in such a situation, a person is not going to be mohel. Blinding the eye, taking off the arm. Already, like I said, it causes a herpa to the family. And therefore, he doesn't have permission to be mohel. It's affecting others. He has no permission to be mohel the mazik. However, when it comes to a little tsa'ad and things like that, he has the ability to be mohel. So that's the first answer. Yabra says, Itmar, Rav Hoshaya Amar, Rav Hoshaya Kalonga says, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. Like we just learned. The reason why he's not mohel on Reshe Evarim is because he cannot be mohel. Because it affects the family. Rav Amar Mishum She'en Adam mohel al Reshe Evarim Shelo. It's not that he can't. Rava learns that he doesn't. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rabbi Yohanan Amar. I go all the way up. Rava Amar. It's the third line in Rashi. Let's catch up in Rashi's now. Rava Amar, the fish in Adam, Mohel She'evarav. Ubaraita, lo tikshi, da'al tsa'aro Mohel Adam. Good. So Rava makes a chiluk. He says on his actual damages of the limbs, a person will not be mohel. But on sa'ar, he will be mohel. Therefore, the braita that said on sa'ar patur, then that item he's willing to. If he says amenat leftor, he means it. Mashaykin, when he says amenat to cut my hand off, amenat leftor, that already he's not mohel that much. Okay, Rashi sa'aro ke'ev makkah. No, that's referring to the cave of the Makkah. Okay, so those are the two answers. Either because of Pegam Mishpacha. Pegam Mishpacha means he has no right to be Mohel. And Rava says he doesn't Mohel. It's a little different answer. Which means Ravas will hold that if the guy actually legitimately is Mohel, that you know he's Mohel, it'll work. Yeah. Whereas according to Yohanan, you can't be Mohel. It's not your thing to Mohel. You're affecting the family. But either way, the Gemara is making a haluk between a cutting of a hand off or just regular tsa'ar, that a person can be mohel on his tsa'ar at this point. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Rabbi Yohanan comes along and says like this, Yesh hen shehu kelav, ve yesh lav shehu kehen. Okay. Sometimes yes is no, and sometimes no is yes. What does he mean over here? So let's read the Rashi. It's really all going to depend on how the person says it. If a person says yes, that means no. And if a person says no, it means yes. If he says it rhetorically, so then the words mean the opposite. As opposed to if he says it, Benihuta, yes, yes means yes. Well, no, no means no. But sometimes if somebody asks a question and he answers back, no, no means you're saying really yes. Well, the opposite, he says yes, hey, that means he's rhetorically saying no. And what does that got to do with us? So that she now fits this shita into our Mishnah. Till now we learned our Mishnah that the case is talking about where a guy goes, tells his friend, cut my hand off, Almenat I'll be poter you. So the guy cuts the hand off, and the Mishnah says what? Hayav. Why? Either because he has no right to be mohel, because pegam mishpacha, it affects the guy's family. People are going to get embarrassed in his family that he has a, you know, no arm and things like that. So he cannot be mohel. Or Rava says he's not mohel. The guy's not mohel. He doesn't mean it. When he said the patur, he was angry or whatever he was saying it. He didn't actually mean it. Rabbi Yochanan has a totally different understanding of this Mishnah. He doesn't learn the case like we learned it, where the guy said everything, cut my hand off and I'll be poter you. The case was talking about where he says, cut my hand off. And then the guy says, will I be patur if I do it? And he says, yes. So now we're trying to interpret that yes. Did he mean yes? Or did he mean, yeah. No. Was it rhetorical? And that's going to all be dependent on how he said it. So let's read the Rashi now. Rabbi Yohanan Amar. Like 5-6 lines down. Adam mochel ala kol. That's the given first, by the way. It's possible that a guy will forgive everything. He don't care about his hand. In cases where we know he's genuine, he can be mochel on that as well. Umatnitin lav da amar le nihbal le chobel. Don't learn the Mishnah like you learned it till now, where the guy that's getting damaged said everything. He just told his friend, cut my hand off. Stam, period. And then the chovel, the guy who's doing the damaging, said, will I get patur if I do it? You tell me explicitly I'll be patur. So the guy tells him, yes. Now we need to interpret what that yes means. Sometimes yes means no. Where he says it in an astounding way. On the condition that I'll be patur? Yeah? Oh, it means no. If he said it like that, then that's why the Mishnah says chayav. But in a kerameh, if he would say, yes, in a regular way, we put it also. So Rabbi Yochanan argues on the previous opinions. Rabbi Yochanan says a man will be mohel. The hadush of our Mishnah is that if he says it in a rhetorical way, you're not going to be patur. Just because he said the word yes, doesn't mean yes. You got to go according to the context of the way he said it. Well, that's the hadush of our Mishnah. Oh. And the second case of the Mishnah was the guy told him, break my jug. Same story. He tells him, on the condition that I'll be patur. And the guy tells him, no, I'll be patur. Which means when you say no in a rhetorical way, also, no means yes. That's the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah was the jug. So he came along and said, break the jug. He says, oh yeah, and if I break the jug, am I going to be patur? He says, oh, what do you mean? No? You're not going to be patur? It means yes. So therefore, really in all cases of Yohanan hold, you can be patur for damages, depending on how he answered. So now the Gemara says, Tanya Namehache, we have a braita to support this over here. Okay? Let's look at the braita to support of Yohanan. Tanya Namehache, Hakeni, Pesaini. Good. Hit me. Give me a wound. Al menat liftor. The guy asks, hey, will I be patur? Va'amar lo. Hen? And he tells him, yeah? Hare yesh hen shukilav. That's a no. That's a yes, that's a no. Kina'at kisuti. Rip my shirt. Al menat liftor. Will I be patur? Va'amar lo. Lav? He tells him, no? Hare. That's a yes. So it comes out, you have three shitot over here in the sugya. The most lenient of the shitot is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, by the way, guys, mohel on everything. Now we mohel on his arm. That means, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the ma'asef, a guy comes up and says, cut my arm off, and we're not niftor, and the guy says yes, without being rhetorical, he means it. He means it. Rava comes along and says, a guy's not mohel. He don't mean when he says yes. He's saying it out of anger. And Rava holds, I'm sorry, that's Rava. And Rabbi Shaya, the name of Rav Sheshat, says he can't be mohel. Right. He doesn't have the right to be mohel because it's affecting his mishpacha. Therefore, it's affecting their busha. Therefore, he cannot be mohel. So Rabbi Yochanan is mohel on everything. And Rava and Rabbi Shaya are saying he's not, but just for different reasons. Rava says because he doesn't mohel, and Rabbi Shaya says because he cannot be mohel. Okay, shaver et kadi, kera et kesuti hayav. Okay, guy comes along and says, break my barrel, rip my shirt. So he says, hayav to pay. He's giving him permission. It sounds like he's giving him the item, and he's telling him, no, I break it. So the Gemara is saying, why not be patur? Why does the Mishnah say chayav in that case? Why does he only have to specify and say, Al menat liftor, even if he just gave it to me, here's the item, please. Because really, when am I obligated to watch something? When I'm given the item to watch. Then I have the obligation of a shomer. But if I'm given the item, and I get permission to break it, so seemingly the laws of shomrim don't apply to me. So why not? If a guy gives me an item and tells me, break it, so I'm not a shomer, so I break it, I should be patur. And the Gemara wants to substantiate it from a pasuk. But it says, we have a contradiction in the laws of shomrim. That's the laws where you're giving someone something to watch for you. The pasuk says, lishmor. You only chayav to watch an item if he gives it to you with the intention to watch it. Velo le'abed. But if he's giving it to you not to watch, he's giving it to destroy, and you destroy it, you be patur. Or lishmor velo lekrawa. It's only to watch, but not if he gives you permission to rip it. Lishmor velo lechalek la'aniyim. Right? Which means, let's say, a guy gave you something to watch over here. Money and things like that, and he lost it. He told you, here's this item over here. I want you to, we're going to give this money to the Aniyim. Okay? Told him, we're going to give it to the money to the Aniyim. So hold it. And what ended up happening? He lost it. The deen is, he's patur. Why? Because there's no claimants over here. Every Ani that comes along and says, hey, that was my money, the guy can tell him, oh, I was going to give it to a different Ani. So if somebody says, here's money to give out to the Aniyim, and he loses the money, the Gemara is saying patur, because there's nobody can ever claim against him. It's like I just told you. Any Ani that comes to him and says, where's my money? Who said it was your money? That has your name on the money? You're the only Ani in town? I was giving it to the other Ani. Good, the other Ani comes. Hey, give me my money. Who said it was yours? Give it to that guy. She can always be the hey. So therefore, basically, the Gemara's question is, why when I tell my friend, here's the item, break it, why am I hayav? The only time Hayav the Chaura is when he makes me a Shomer. But in this case, he did not make me a Shomer. So I should indeed be Patur. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lishmor velo le'abed. See that, Rashi? Ki yiten. Like, if, in the event you give somebody an item, Lishmor. Defkido etzlo Lishmor. Hayav bifshia. Then you Hayav if you're negligent. Velo kishifkido etzlo amenat le'abed. But not if he gave him the item with conditions that he gives him permission to destroy it. Or to give it to the poor people. Why? That's not considered lishmor. You weren't endowed to watch it. Once he tells him give the money out, it's not considered anymore the one that gave it, because you're telling me to give it out. Uman kataba. Who's gonna claim the money now? The aniim lo matzit tabe. The aniim cannot have a claim. Why? Delechol had vechad matzi amar lavli didak yavina ilal acharini. Because you can tell each ani, I'm not giving it to you, I'm giving it to that guy. And the guy that gave it to him cannot have a claim. Because it's not your money anymore. You told me to give it to the aniim. So therefore, in that case over there, he's patur. So the question about again is, why are you telling me now, Mishnah? Hayav, you should be patur. When he gives him money or he gives him an item, here's my card, break it. Good, so I'm not a shomer anymore. So why can I break it? Why am I hayav? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabuna, Lakasha, no question. Had ateli yade, had lo ateli yade. Oh, it all depends if it got his hand or not. Which means, our Mishnah that says Chayav, it got his hands. Which means, we're learning the case of Rashi. Natay the Vekara biyadeh Chayav, ilo amar le amenat leftor. Vafilu atal yadeh me'ikara amenat le'abed. Wow. Gemara is saying, once you give an item and it's in the guy's hands, automatically, the guy's a shomer. Once it comes to his hands, he's got to watch it. Even if he gives it to him, and he tells him in the beginning, I'm giving this to you, al menat le'abed. We don't believe what he's saying. Once it comes into the guy's hands, you got to be a shomer. It don't matter, even if you specified and stipulated from the beginning. Oh, the Torah's case over there was talking where you didn't give it to the guy yet. You didn't put it in his hands yet, and you told the item was over there. It's on the table. Tell the guy, Amenat la'abid. Oh, Amenat la'abid. Then already I go take it and break it, I'm going to be patur. But once it comes to the hands, the Gemara is assuming now from the Havamina, it doesn't matter in what stipulation it came to the hands, we say what? The guy doesn't mean it. So what is the guy telling it to you for? He wants you to take it. He wants you to be shomer. Normally the guy doesn't want to be shomer. I don't want to get involved. So he says, don't worry, take it. Even if it breaks you, it's okay. Oh, so he takes it. But he doesn't mean it. He means he wants you to watch it. So therefore, now you break it. Hey, but you told me. Well, Betty was saying, hey, they told you only because he wanted you to be a shomer. And he knew you weren't going to get involved with the item unless you give him an out. But he really didn't mean it. But Sheikin, if you never took it, was on the table, break it. That's the Gemara's have that mean at the same time, Hiluk now. So comes the Gemara and says, good. So Gemara says, not a good answer. Amar Rava, or Rabba, Lishmor de'atli yadeh mashma. Right. Your Hiluk doesn't make sense. Because where are we learning the Ptur from? From the Pasuk Lishmor. What's the Pasuk Lishmor? I gave the guy an item. It's in his hands. And I told him, Al Menat, you could break it. So it's what's the din of the Torah? You Patur. So it's mashma that even after it gets to his hands, and he makes a stipulation, you're going to be Patur. Don't tell me you're only going to be Patur when it's on the table and the guy told from the answer before you even touched it. You're Patur, don't worry about it, da, da, da. Then he picked it up. For the Torah's mashma, even if he picked it up and then the guy stipulated, he's still going to be patur. So we have to go back. What's the case that the Mishnah is talking about? What's the case the Braita is talking about? Oh, both cases are talking about where the guy who broke it is holding it. Oh, simple answer. When I give the guy the item, initially, to watch, came to my hands as a watchman, you can't change your mind anymore. And even if he does change his mind, the shomer is still hayaf. Once you're a shomer, you're a shomer. He came to his hands with the intention to be shomer. Now we have a guy, oh, by the way, no, you want to rip it, you can break it, don't worry about it, too late, you're a shomer. Mashaken, if it got to his hands initially, hey, I'm giving you this item, al menata, you can break it, then the Mishnah is telling you, indeed you'll be patur. So both cases are talking about it came to his hand. The question is, under what pretense? If it came to his hand, al-menat lishmor, too late. Even if he changes his mind, you cannot. But if it came to his hands, al-menat lishmor, from the beginning, in a kamel be patur. Look at Ashi, towards the bottom. Had the atali yadim mi'ikara b'turat shemira. The hadar amar lekera, and then he changed the mind. He said, "You know what? You can rip it." Hayav, ilo amar le almenat liftor. Unless he told me from the beginning, I'm giving this to you almenat liftor. That's the difference in the cases. Gemara concludes the perek. Kahu arneka detzdakah. There was a certain wallet filled with tzedakah money. The ate le pumpedita. Katre seria pumpedita. Afkede Rav Yosef Gabehu Gavra. So Rav Yosef, he was the gizbat. Rav Yosef was in charge of the tzedakot of the city. So he gave it to a certain guy. Okay, here, do me a favor. Give it out to the anim of pumpedita. What happened? Pasha. He was negligent. Atu gannave ganbuha. Thieves came and they stole the wallet. Haybe Rav Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef came along and said, you have to pay. So wait, Amar le'Abaye, v'atanya lishmor v'lo lechalek la'anim. We just learned that only when you give an item to a guy to watch is he hayav if he's negligent. But if you give him an item to give out to the poor people and he's negligent, he doesn't have to pay because there's no claimants. The anim can't claim because each guy will tell, I'll give it to the next guy. I wasn't giving it to you. It's not your money. And the guy that gave it to him can't claim it because it wasn't his money. You said it was for the anim. So how did Rabbi Yosef say that this guy's hayav to reimburse the anim? Gemara says, Amale, Rabbi Yosef says, Anie de Pumpedita mechatz kaitz lehu. Which means the Aniim of Pumpedita, they get a fixed salary and a fixed income from the tzedakot every week. Every Ani gets a certain amount. And therefore, you cannot come along and say, oh, I wasn't giving you, I was giving you, no, here the Aniim get fixed salary from the kupa. And therefore, the Gemara says, Lishmorhu. It's like a din of Shemirah. Therefore, when the Ani comes to you and says, hey, I want my money, you can't say, oh, well, I wasn't giving it to you. No. In Pumpedita, every Ani gets a fixed amount. Therefore, you were watching my money. That's how fixed it is. And therefore, the claim is you got to reimburse the Aniim. It's like the Aniim gave you the money to watch. And therefore, the Aniim gave you the money to watch. Therefore, you have to watch it. That's she. Less that she, the Perek. First, Rabbi Yosef, Gabbai Haba. Rabbi Yosef was the Gabbai Tzedakah. Kayetz Lehu, Mamon, Kach Vekach LeShabbat. Right? They get a certain stipend a week. Lechol Achat Havilem Mamon Shiesh Lo Tov'in. So now, each Ani over here has a legitimate claim. Vekarinan Be Lishmor. Therefore, it's considered Lishmor. And therefore, if he was negligent, he is indeed going to have to pay Hadran Alach Achovel. Okay, we begin the ninth Perek of Masichet. It seems, just as one introduction to the Perek, we learned earlier in the Masechet that if somebody steals something and he makes a shinui, he changes the item that he stole, so the item becomes his. He's kone it with the shinui. And therefore he has to pay back according to the time that he stole it. Kish'ata gezela. The change becomes his, he acquires it, and he pays back the Shanti Gezel. Now the Mishnah is going to give us some examples. Hagozel Aitzim. Okay, a guy stole wood. Ba'asa'an Kerim. And he made it into Kerim. He made it into a vessel. He made a change. Tzemer, he stole wool. Ba'asa'an Begadim. And he turned it into a shirt, a garment. Mishalem Kishanti Gezel. So he just has to pay monetary compensation. How much the wood was at the time of the thievery, or how much the tzemer was, the wool was at the time of the thievery. Because he was koneh the kelim, and he's koneh the beg. Gazal para me'uberet. He stole a para that was pregnant. The yalda, and it gave birth. Rachel te'una. Or the Rachel had wool on it. The gazeza. And he sheared it. Meshalem deme para ha'omedet liled. So of course he has to pay back according to the time that he stole. He has to pay back how much is an animal that's destined to give birth, and how much is an animal worth that is laden with wool. Which means He's koneh, according to Rashi, it's mashma. Bottom line, there's a change in the animal now. So he's koneh the animal. He just has to pay back the difference between, or it sounds like he's koneh the shinui, I should say. And he has to pay back the animal, plus how much it would have been worth more if it would have been pregnant. Or how much it would have been worth more if it would had shearings on it. So in this case, also that she's master, the shinui is koneh, because he cut the shearings off and they gave birth, so it's a different animal. But the animal is still an animal that he has to return, plus the amount that it depreciated now. So you have to return it from the time of the gezela. Okay? Last case of the Mishnah. Gazal para v'net abira. You stole a para and it gave birth. It's low. Vialda. Okay, he gave birth. Rachel, v'nit'en, which means you stole a para, it got pregnant by him. But you stole a regular para. And it got pregnant by him. V'nit'abira, it's no vialda. Rachel, or you stole a sheep without any shearings on it. V'nit'ena, it's no, and it became filled with wool. V'gazeza, mishalem kishat gezela. You don't have to return back a cow, regular cow, and you only have to return back a sheep without shearings on. You don't have to return the changed. So you kone it, so you have to return back the change. Ze aklal. Basically, the rule is of the Mishnah: kol gazlanim mishalmim kishat gezela. That's basically you have to remember. All gazlanim pay the item that it was worth at the time of the gezela. Any shinui that was made to it subsequently, they do not have to pay back. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to start to explain. Amre, let's go back to the first case. He stole wood. He made it into kelim. Amre, etzim v'asan kelim in. Sounds like only because she made it into a vessel. Shifan lo. But just sanding it is not a kinyan. Because l'chaora, the way you make it a keli is, you got to sand it first. Would the Mishnah have to go all the way to making it a kelim? It just should have said, once you sanded the wood, that's already a shinui. For the fact that the Mishnah said, no, dafka asa'an kelim, so that means shifan, the sanding, is not considered a shinui enough. Good. Tzemer v'asa'an begadim. You stole wool, and you made it into a garment. In, yeah, dafka we made it into a garment. Libnan lo, but just whitening it, whitening the wool, is not considered enough. Now again, the chaura, before you make it a garment, you have to whiten the wool. So obviously the whitening is not considered a shinui. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? What do you mean here we have a contradiction? Gazal etzim v'shifan. You stole wood and you sanded it. Abanim v'sitetan, or rocks. And you're misatet. That's also what sanding is to wood. That's what situt is to rocks. Like you chisel them to smoothen them out. Tzemer v'libnan. You stole wool and you whitened it. Pishtan v'nikahu. Or you stole flax and you cleaned up the flax. It's like a form of whitening them. Mishalem kishat gezela. You only have to pay according to what it was at the time of the stealing, which is mashma, you were koneit, the gazlan was koneit. So make up your mind, our mishnah is mashma, that only when you steal, and you would, and you make it a keli, do you koneit, does the gazlan koneit with the shinui. Where it's mashma of this braita, that even if you didn't have to make it a keli, even if he sanded it, already it says he only has to pay kishat gezela. Yeah. As opposed to giving back the item itself. Which means, if you say that the ganav is not koneh b'shipui, you have to return the item itself. It's not considered a shinui. But if you say it's koneh b'shipui, so then already he's koneh the item. It's his item. And now he just returns kishat gezela. When I stole it, it wasn't sanded. So that's a big naf kaminah. We have a big machlok between the Mishnah and the Braita. So comes again. Amar Abaye, so Abaye gives an answer. Tanadidan, our Tana, Katani Shinui, the Rabbanan, the Hadra, the Koshiken, Shinui, the Oraita, and all them also, a Shinui, the Oraita, which means, Esim Vaasaan Kelim, that which we said in our Mishnah, we have Esim. You stole wood. And what did he do? He turned it into kelim. You know what we're talking about over here? Where the wood was already sanded from the beginning. Be'etzim mishupin. And therefore, when he stole the etzim mishupin and turned it into a vessel, you're right, it's a shinui. But that's a shinui that can be undone. Because the keli, you can undo it and go back to its original state. The chidush of the Mishnah is even a shinui that's not a permanent shinui, which would be considered a shinui midrabbanan, the gazlan is koneh. Umayninu nisarim. You stole planks. Planks are sanded already. So the chidush of the Mishnah is the change that he made is not a permanent change. Turning it into kelim, you could unturn them into not kelim. So you might have thought that what? A non-permanent change is not a shinui kamash malan. The Mishnah says it is. The shinui dahadar lebriyatahu. Right? It goes back to its original state. De'iba'im mishlif lehu, because you can undo it. You can take it apart. The case of the Braita that came along and said, where you made it into, where you sanded it, that's a shinui de'oraita. Because once you sand it, you cannot unsand it. So therefore the chadush of our Mishnah is, you stole planks. Planks already are considered sanded already. And the chadush of the shinui that you made was a shinui de rabbanan, because it can be chozer lebriyato, and still the Mishnah's din is what? The gerabes kone, so there's no stira. And the case of the blight that's talking, where you stole a regular piece of wood, and you're sanding it enough, that's already, you don't got to make it a keli. Once already you sanded it already, it's considered a shinui, and therefore you're going to be koneh. Similarly by wool, tzemer ba'asa'an begadim. The case where you stole tzemer, wool, and you made it into garments, besemer tavui. Already the wool was spun already. Was spun and processed. Dishinui da'adan lebriyatahu. Such a garment, you can unravel and bring it back to its original state. De'iba'e satarle. That's the Hadush of the Mishnah. That even though you stole wool, and you made a shinui and turning it into a beged, and it's not a permanent change, still you kone. They're called sheken shinui de'oraita. And all the more so, when you made a shinui de'oraita, that means when you made a change that is permanent. V'tana barra shinui de'oraita ketani. Which means, and the Braita was talking about when you made a shinui de'oraita, when you stole wood and you made it sanding. That's already shinui de'oraita. The shinui de'rabanan, look at the Braita was not discussing shinui de'rabanans. Which is de'rabanan shinui is chozer lebriyato. A de'oraita shinui is a permanent shinui. And therefore the Mishnah and the Braita were talking about two different scenarios. There's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braita. That's the answer of Abaye. Yeah, both of them koneh. The Hadush is in the Mishnah. That even though it's a shinui, it's not a permanent shinui, it's still koneh. But of course, a person stole a regular plank of wood, and then he sanded it, bingo, that's already a shinui d'oraita. That's not going to change. That's the Braita's talking about. The Hadush of the Mishnah is that even on a shinui, that's chozer lebriyato. Comes the Gemara and continues and says a different answer. That's Abaye's way of reconciling the Braita and the Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says no. Our Mishnah is also talking about a permanent change. Oh, what's the case of permanent change? Esim v'asa'an kelim, you stole wood. And you made them into kelim, buchi aneh. What's buchi aneh? You turn them into a type of kelim called the buchi aneh. That's like the pestle that they use in order to grind spices. Now she says, lichtosh. Dainu shifan. All you did in the Mishnah is you made it a keli. Now you made it a keli, or you didn't have to sand it. The sanding it made it into a keli. You don't have to hollow anything out or dig anything out. When you need a pestle, all you need is a block of wood in order to bang the spices. So our Mishnah that says keli, wood, etzim v'asan kelim. That's what you actually did. You actually just sanded it down, and they already had a keli. And that's what shinui d'oraita. Because once you sand it, you cannot unsand it. Dainu shifan. That's the shipui. Tzemer v'asa'an begadim. Oh, and the tzemer that we said the guy stole, and he turned it into begadim. What's the case? Namte. Nashi, what is it? Begadim namte. Nashi says, faltir belaz de'en melabbenin oto atzemer, which means this type of tzemer over here, you don't need to whiten. They don't make a libun on it, and therefore avad echad de libnan kanya. But of course, if the person whitened the kelim, but die whitening is going to be. This was a type of beged that you didn't need to whiten it, and therefore it's a beged. Therefore you made a kinyan on it. Dainu shinui de lo hadav. Oh, this is a shinui, and now Mishnah is talking about a shinui that's also irreversible, and therefore the Mishnah is talking about shinuyim that are de'oraita. It seems you pressed the wool. By pressing the wool, namte means you pressed it in the press. Once you press it, you cannot, you don't have to whiten it. Just, once you press it, you cannot, it unravels it. Once you unravel it, it remains the way it is. Good, that's the case of the Braita. Therefore, in a kenameh, if you actually sanded it or you actually made a libun, vaday, it goes without saying. We're talking about over here where you also made a shinui in the Mishnah, which is also a shinui de oraita. Right, you made it to felt. That's what Rashi says, felt up. You cannot change the wood once you make shipui, and you cannot make change the began once you make this pressing. It's a shinui de oraita. That's it, very simple. And the braita's case is talking about, well, you didn't make a keli out of it. But still, it's also shinui de oraita. Because once I make shipui, in Hosea, I don't have to make a keli. The Hadush of Mishnah is where the shipui made it into a keli. Or you had a case where you turned it into felt, where you didn't have to actually whiten it, but you actually pressed it. But the point is, both braita and Mishnah talk about shinuyim de oraita. We didn't, according to Rav Asher, we're not getting into the discussion of a shinui that can be hozer. Right, we didn't discuss that. Whereas according to Abaye, yeah, we have a shinui de rabbanan in the picture. Now the Gemara goes into a side point. Vilibun, mi have a shinui? The Gemara is assuming when you whiten something, when you whiten the wool, that's a shinui. The Gemara challenges that. Vilibun, mi have a shinui? Is libun indeed a shinui? Why? Ulmini, we have a contradiction. We have a law called the Shita Giz. What's the Shita Giz? You have to give a certain amount of wool, the first shearings, to the Kohen. You have to give, let's say, a certain shoe, let's say the Gemara says, from five animals. The first five animals you take, you shear it, you collect all the wool together, and you give a significant shiur to the Kohen. But let's say in the interim, as you were shearing it, you whiten the wool. So you whiten the wool, if you're going to say that shinui is koneh, so now you don't got to give that wool to the Kohen. Because you whitened it, and you gozel it from the Kohen, but it becomes yours. So the Braita says like this, lo speak lit no lo. Let's say you didn't give the tzemer to the Kohen yet. Achit sevao. What did you do in the interim? You dyed it. So you patur. Because now you were koneh it with the shinui maaseh. You made a shinui, you dyed the wool. The wool is white, you turned it purple. So therefore you mazik matarot kehuna, you damage the matarot of the kehuna, and you patur to pay. You don't have to pay, you don't have to give it to him. However, libno velo tzevao. Oh, but if you just whitened it and you didn't whiten it, you took out all the dirt from it and things like that. The deen is hayav. So you see what? Whitening is not considered a shinui, only dyeing. But from our braita above, we smash by that what? Even whitening the wool is considered a shinui. Let's read Rashi for a minute. Look at Rashi. Lo speak that no. L'reshita gez the kohen. You didn't give the reshita gez to the kohen. Acha seva o patur. Dekanya b'shinui. V'damim name lo mishalem. Oh, so maybe you have to compensate the kohen with money. You took his reshita gez. The kohen was coming to him $100 worth of wool. Maybe pay him money. And she says, no. Delav gezel gamuru delo matali yadeh. You really didn't steal from him because it didn't come to him. It wasn't his yet that you have to compensate him yet. You stole it from the Shevet. You stole it from the tribe of Kohanim. You didn't steal from one specific Kohen. If you don't got to compensate. Oh, however, if you whitened it, so then already the deen is what? Whitened it, the deen is? You still have to pay. You still chayav. So you see, whitening is not considered a shinui.
Hey,
you
give to me.
No, that's what you have to give to him. You owe the sheet against a Kohen. So when you take the wool off these animals, you didn't give it to a Kohen yet. You have to pay him.
Right.
You whitened it. You still have to pay him.
Right, that's
right. That's a stira. We learned that whitening is a shinui.
Right.
Now we say not. So Abaye is going
to
answer.
It is a shinui. You have to pay. You see,
correct. Amar Abaye lakasha. No question. Har bishimon, har banan. Two different shitot over here. Which means that which we say libun is not considered a shinui. This bright as found a banan. Where do you see it? The Tanya, we have a braita. Gezazo, the guy was gozez the tzemer. Right? He cut the tzemer. Teva'o v'arago. You spun the wool. Arago, and you weaved it. Okay? He made the processed wool out of it. And mitzaref. Now, I told you that there's a certain shiur you have to give to the Kohen. Let's say you shear five animals. Okay, so all the shearings of the five animals are mitzaref, and you give it to the kohen. So the deen is, I cut the first animal. Then I have wool in my head. I spun it, I weaved it, I made it nice. Now I cut the next animal. So the deen is in mitzaref. The wool of the first animal is not mitzaref, because now already I made a shinui on it. Therefore you cannot mitzaref this wool with the wool that's coming up. Look at Rashi, in mitzaref. Ditnat b'shchaitat chodin, hamesh lechaylot, you have five sheep. Gozezot kol achat mane upares. He gozes from each one a certain shi'ur, mane nehet. Hayavot bereshit hagez. Bereshit hagez, ma'u, hagozez lachayel lachat, shgazanot temen hagizah lekohen lefi ma shi'etze. You have to give a certain shi'ur that's hashuv from the shearing. Ubebachti netina hashuvah. Veketani, im gazaz achat v'tzav'a, you stole one and you painted it, you dyed it. V'ken shiniyah, v'ken shishit, en mitzterfot lemane upaz t'chayev, v'kareinu b'shinui. Right? By the time you gave it to the Kohen, already it was yours, because you made a shinui. Here the rabbis come along and say, you didn't make a libun, or you didn't make a tzivi'ah. You cut it. And before it came to tziruf of the second, the third, and the fourth, you went and you spun it, and you made it into yarn or thread. So the deen is, in mistarif. Libno, here's what we need from the Braita. Libno, you actually whitened it. So here we have a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama Rabbana. Rabbi Shimon Omer, En Mistaref. What do you see, En Mistaref? Because the Libun is Kone. Lachemim Omrim, Mistaref. And Lachemim come along and say, it is indeed Mistaref. So why you see a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Lachemim? Is Libun Kone or not? Machloket Tanaim. Clear or not? Comes and goes, Rabbi Amar, have a had Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi says, no, I can tell you both are Rabbi Shimon. How can it be both Rabbi Shimon? Is Libun a Shinui or not a Shinui? Kabbalah says, Vela Kashya, had the Nafse Nafutse, had the Serke, Serruke. It depends how he whitened it. Look at that, she Nafse Biyad. Nipuz is, he takes his hands and he runs it through the wool just to take out all the dirt and all the impurities. That's also considered whitening. But there's whitening that you do with your hand and there's whitening that you do with the comb, with the brush. If you do it with the brush, oh, that's a real whitening. That's a nibun, that's going to be a shinui. Ah, the bride that said nibun is not shoneh, the koneh. That's the way we did it. Viyad. One more answer. Rabbi Chaya bar Avin Amar's third answer. Chaya bar Avin Amar. Had the Chavre Chavure. Had the Chavre Kaveruye. Oh. There's two different types of whitening processes according to Rabbi Asher. Rabbi Chaya bar Avin. One is talking where you soaked it in water. Soaking it in water also gets away the impurities. But that's not considered a real Shinui. But kabruye is, you smoked it with the gofrit, with the sulfur. You sulfurized it, or you bleached it, exactly. That's really considered a shinui. So basically, the Gemara's answering three answers. You had a stira. Is the boon a shinui or not? One answer is, machloket, Rabbanav Rabbi Shimon. Or I could say, no, everything is Rabbi Shimon. And what? It depends the process that you did. If you did it by hand, no. If you did it by comb, yes. Or if you did it by water, no. If you did it by sulfurizing, yes. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.